Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast. In this podcast, we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we do tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors too. Hello, podcast listeners. This is Sam Barker from Hugh James Solicitors, and I'm here with Alan Collins.
Hello, everyone.
So today we're talking about sex abuse in sport, which is a topic that finds its way into the news a lot, and unsurprisingly, given what's been happening lately. But to kick us off in this topic, I'm going to speak about a case of a former youth football coach named Bob Higgins, who was recently jailed for 24 years and 3 months for abusing young players. Now, Higgins sexually touched and groped 24 victims, most of them trainees at Southampton FC and Peterborough United. He was found guilty at a retrial of 45 counts of indecent assault between 1971 and 1996. So we're seeing a really continued pattern of this kind of behaviour over many, many years. And in response to that, Judge Peter Crabtree described Higgins as a predatory and cunning serial sex abuser who carefully groomed these teenagers. Higgins's victims told Winchester Crown Court of suicidal thoughts and relationship problems later in life. And one of the things that came out in this case was how much these trainees idolised Higgins and saw him as a mentor and father figure. Now, this is altogether not surprising and not uncommon that children look up to their coaches, or even young people look up to their coaches in such a way that they idolize them and see them as a sort of father figure or parental figure, and particularly in circumstances where some of those children don't already have that in their lives. But just generally speaking, this is something that occurs a lot. I can think back to teachers, coaches, all of those kind of things that you have across your life. Everybody has those teachers or those coaches that they look back on really fondly and think, you know, how much those people shaped and influenced their lives. Obviously, this is a different situation where this person went on to abuse these people and is now serving time in prison for it. But it highlights something different, I think. I think it shows that this kind of role that a person, that a coach has in a sports team is so influential and factors in so much to the everyday lives of those people who train in the team. So we're going to talk about that and those kind of people who abuse those kind of positions, and generally speaking, the problem of sex abuse in sport. So I'm going to turn to Alan here to talk about this problem really worldwide, not just here in the UK.
Thanks, Sam. I think you've done a mini podcast. I think you've covered the entire subject in your usual succinct way. So thanks for that. But seriously, though, the Higgins case is a really topical example of what can go so badly wrong in sport. You know, sport is a big thing for lots of people, whether it's football, cricket, gymnastics, rugby, whatever. It's a major thing in people's lives for understandable reasons. And sport is interesting, it's healthy, it's a great pastime, and indeed it can be a predominant part of somebody's life. But the problem is, as demonstrated by the Higgins case, it can attract the wrong people. And Higgins is a classic failure of the system, failing to get to grips with something that was happening under people's eyes, so to speak. He was there. He was obviously brazen. He was able to use his access to young people for his own selfish, exploitative ways. Yeah, as you said, Sam, you know, he was basically idolized, he was a mentor, he was looked up to, but there were others, older people, who perhaps probably should have done something about him when he was on their watch. So Higgins is a good example of where it all goes so tragically wrong. And at this point, I'm just going to mention a recent US case which is similar in many ways, and that's the case of Larry Nassar, who was sentenced earlier this year to a term of 125 years imprisonment for abusing young athletes. This was gymnastics. He was a doctor who was a serial predator of girls and young women in the gymnastics world. And yeah, he was able to get access through his employment, through his work. And what happens is that the children, the young people, they're out of their normal environment, aren't they? They're not at school, they're in sport, they're not under the eye of the usual people, their parents or their families and so on. So it doesn't matter whether it's sport, education, scouts or whatever it happens to be, they're away from their normal environment, usually doing something that they really want to do, play sports and so on, and here they are being abused. And I think both the NASA case and the Higgins case really does demonstrate the potential vulnerability and how sport needs to up its game to have really effective safeguarding and child protection measures. Because these abusers, it's, you know, they were brazen, they were there, and they were abusing over many, many years, and in the case of Higgins, over decades.
Yeah, when you're speaking about their cases, and particularly cases in the United States where this has happened, it brought to mind a case that I remember looking into, and I've actually listened to some podcasts about this case because it's just so outrageous that this happened. And that was at Penn State in the United States. Their university team, famed American football team, and was coached by a famed, you know, longtime head and loved coach called Joe Paterno. Now, Joe Paterno had a statue in the town. He was loved by all the people in the town and the supporters of the team and everything like that. And a few years ago, a huge scandal broke out in the United States where it was found one of the coaches, Jerry Sandusky, his name is, had been abusing a lot of different children within part of the organization. And in fact, I could be wrong on this because I'm just remembering off the top of my head, but two or one coach at least walked into the bathrooms and saw this other coach, Jerry Sandusky, sexually abusing one of the children. And nobody did anything about it. And this brings in something else that I think that becomes a common theme of this podcast, Alan and I do, is that religious institutions, organizations, they have a propensity to try to cover things up to make it so that the reputation of the religion is protected, or the reputation of the community is protected. And it's not untrue of sports as well. We saw this with Penn State. That was a scandal which rocked that town and the university, Pennsylvania University, in a massive way, because nobody could believe that these people who held such a high position, they were respected and revered so much by the community, might have known about what this coach, Jerry Sandusky, was doing and did nothing about it. And it shows that probably they, certainly wrongly, were thinking that they were going to protect the institution of Penn State, or indeed the sport itself. And so I think we can see, certainly with sport, because it goes so much to the heart and the root of people and communities, that, you know, bad things can happen and it can turn people who were genuinely good into making terrible decisions to try to protect the sports team.
Yeah, and it comes back to, you know, some practical issues. For example, you have to think, well, if you go back to your own childhood and youth, when you were taking part, it doesn't matter what sport it was, but, you know, if there was something wrong, you're in that kind of environment where it's going to be very difficult to make some kind of complaint about your sports coach, someone who is integral to your enjoyment of the game and maybe your career in that particular sport. Everyone else likes him or her. It comes down to this. You're unhappy. Something's happened. Who do you speak to? Who do you go to? That's pretty tough. And that's what I think sport, in its many guises, in its many forms and so on, really needs to start thinking about. It's not just about making sure you're recruiting the right people, but you've also got to make sure that you've got in place the right structures and mechanisms so that it's very straightforward, or as straightforward as it can be, for a young person to speak up.
Absolutely. And given the role that coaches play within people's lives, and exactly what you're talking about there, Alan, how there's these real problems to reporting, but also there's so much trust placed in a coach. It's alarming to see these figures reported by Operation Hydrant here in the UK, which is 741 victims have come forward to detail allegations of sexual assault in the context of sport against some 276 figures. Figures meaning they're, I guess, coaches and things like that, Alan?
I guess so, because it's not just football coaches, it can be swimming coaches, it can be, well, you know, you just got to think about it, and you just think about your own time when you've ever taken part in sports, the sort of people that feature in sport, the adults that you come across. So, yeah, and I can think of some cases as we're speaking where I think they were swimming. The youngsters were potentially going to become professional swimmers, and the coaches in their lives were probably more prominent, more dominant than their own parents.
That's the thing. So many of these coaches form such an important role in the lives of those people that they coach. So it's something that really needs to be focused on as an issue that needs to change. Alan, have you got any other thoughts about this kind of conduct in sport generally?
I think we also have to appreciate that something you touched upon already, which is in many of these cases, the red lights are flashing, but those in authority just seem to ignore those red lights. That has to be tackled. And I think it's very important for sport that it really does get behind all the reforms that are necessary, because the cost to it in both human and financial terms is going to be immense. You know, there's the reputational damage as well for the clubs and the bodies involved, just on reputation. But then you've also got to think about the human costs, the victims, other players, and how they're affected, the supporters, the families, the damage that they are going to suffer with these kinds of cases. But there's also the financial cost, because the cost where you have so many victims is going to be immense for a club. They may be insured, but there's still going to be financial ramifications for the club with increased premiums, assuming that the insurers are still prepared to provide cover as well. Plus, you know, if you've got falling membership as a consequence of the scandal or revelations of abuse, you're going to have falling ticket sales and so on. So the costs are considerable. And so I think it's absolutely vital that sport, the sport industry, so to speak, really does tackle all of these issues. It's catch-up time and getting it right time.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in, everybody, today to listen to us talk about this very important topic. Thank you, Alan, for joining.
Thank you, Sam.
And as always, please refer to our show notes, which you can find them on whatever platform you're listening on. There will be a link, or they'll be copied on there. And part of that, there is an email where you can get in touch with us and suggest any kind of topic you want us to talk about, or any ideas you have would be great. So thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. If you would like to speak to Alan or I about something you have heard this week, or even if you would like to suggest a topic for a future episode, please do get in touch at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.